Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning. Lots going on in the next month or two that we're going to run over by you today and talk about with Christy Herneman, the Adult Services Coordinator at the library, and Darcy Caswell is the Youth Services Coordinator. And good morning and welcome back to both of you.
Good morning, Ted.
On the library Facebook page the other day, I thought of you when I saw this. Sometimes I tell myself to stop reading and get things done. Then I laugh and turn the page.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Unless there's a fire burning.
Yeah. So I thought of you guys, and a good reminder that the library Facebook page, and along with the online, but the Facebook page day to day has great stuff with. Especially when it's if it's an author or an actor's birthday and they've done something, it's a lot of good stuff on the Central Rappahannock Regional Library Facebook page to check out. One of the things before we get into some of the things going on, as we approach spring, do both of you, and probably all times of the year, but in the summer when sometimes trends or movies, how close do you watch movies, see movies that are coming up, or try to anticipate what might be topics that the people are going to be interested in, or you think cultural-wise might become kind of hot? You have to keep track of that?
I think we try to keep track of everything, whether it's movies or TV shows or other cultural things. Like, I sent Christy or asked her a while ago, I'm like, do you know about this Instapot thing? Like, we need to have, are we doing anything about that Instapot thing?
What is that?
It's like a, okay, I don't have one, but it's like a slow cooker, but better. I think it cooks things very fast.
And it has like a million buttons on the front of it, so it can do a whole lot of different. It really looks like you just kind of put everything in there like a slow cooker, but yeah. It cooks a lot quicker than what a slow cooker would do. And you press buttons and it does things.
Yeah. But anyway, to get back to your original question, yes, movies, because a lot of movies, you know, they get their inspiration or they are direct. They come directly out of a book that has been written previously. So a lot of times when movies come out, that drives an interest in the book. So we usually, you know, when we can't always foresee the future, but as much as we can, when we think that a upcoming movie is going to drive interest in a particular book, then we try to get more copies of that book so that we can meet customer needs, customer demand when that movie comes out.
And I was just looking, there's actually a movie coming out starring Ryan Gosling in October about Neil Armstrong, which is based on a book. And I was like, that is perfect because we always have our Meet the Moon program at our Porter Branch in October. So we'll definitely kind of link those two things up.
That's fun. Yeah. It's always, so it's, you know, I think, again, pop culture, or just kind of general culture, you know, we always try at the library to serve whatever needs that people have. And a lot of people's interest is driven by that, by that pop culture or things that are going on in the community and then they get interested in.
Now, you do a really good job of, when a lot of things all of a sudden become big, and I'll notice the library, you've already got a display on it, or you have something. So I figured that somebody's watching things and trying to anticipate what's coming up.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, Janice Black, who does our collection management, she had noticed an uptick in the requests on books related to cleaning your home with natural-based products or, you know, things that you could make at home. And so then she had a class at the library, you know, that was about like how to make your own natural cleaners at home, you know, so that you're not using as many chemicals and whatnot. So, we try to keep an eye on things like that.
That's interesting that everybody sort of watches those kind of things and watches for trends and pitches in. Mm-hmm. So interesting.
Yeah.
The power of poetry is coming to the library. And talk about that.
So April is National Poetry Month, and so at all of our branches, we're trying to We have programs for all ages to emphasize poetry, to inspire creativity. And, you know, poetry is, it covers a wide, there's a wide spectrum of what poetry covers, you know, for youth and teens and adults. And so we're trying to have a wide variety of things. At all of our branches, there's, you can stop in and pick up a poem. So we'll have some poems wrapped up so you can kind of pick one up and, you know, at your leisure, read the poem and sort of have some inspiration. At in the children's areas in our libraries, there's going to be some interactive ways that children can engage with poetry where they might write their own short poem and hang it on, hang it up or hang it on a little tree. And in the for teens, of course, we have our teen poetry contest in April, which is always a huge draw. And teens in grade 6 through 12 can submit their poems online beginning April 1st, April 1st through the 15th. And we will have judges from Mary Washington University who will judge those, and there are cash prizes, so it's a great opportunity for teens.
I remember we talked about this last year, because I was trying to remember when that was, and mm-hmm. it was in April of where. I mean, that really was is popular.
It's huge. We get a ton of submissions, and it's really a great opportunity because I think the thing with poetry is that anybody can write poetry, and there aren't a ton of resources that you need. You know, you need a piece of paper and something to write with, and so really, you know, anybody, no matter what your age, what your kind of, you know, socioeconomic status, it's a way that you can create art and really express yourself. And for the teens now with this contest, you know, there's no you just write your poem and you submit it online. And for folks who don't have internet access at home, of course, you could come into any one of our libraries and use one of our computers to submit your poems. And then we will have our poetry night on May 10th, and that's when the winners will be recognized. And it's a big event, and it's really, really fun. And like I said, it's really interesting to see the variety of subjects that the teens choose in their poetry. You know, some are really gritty, and you know, because a lot of times they pull from their life experience or they pull from things they see around them, and so it's so expressive. It's really interesting. It's always beautiful just to see what teens can create. They're so imaginative.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, and you mentioned it, that, I mean, poetry can take so many different forms.
Absolutely.
It's not just things that rhyme, and
no.
Certain poems just can really catch you just
right.
with their depth and like you say, with just life experiences.
Right. And the great thing, too, about the event on May 10th is that the poems will be read aloud, which really is often how poems are meant to be experienced, right? Is to be read aloud so that you can hear the, you know, the way that they're read and the voice behind them. And so it's a really special event.
Well, and it looks like that you have events at each branch has
yep.
something at their own branch.
Yeah, every branch, no matter where you are, there will be events to, you know, throughout April. Poetry related events, and you know, like I said, some you can just kind of pop in and do at your leisure, and then some are more scheduled.
We have a lot of events happening in the evenings for poetry readings, and what's wonderful about those is you can participate by reading an original poem or just a poem that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you just want to sit back and relax and listen to other people read poems, that's perfectly fine as well. So it's really, we're really trying to get people in to experience the poetry. As Darcy said, you can read poetry, but when you hear it and you hear the emotion and the voice behind it, it really transforms, you know, that written word into a feeling, a sensation, an
yeah.
experience.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's a multi-sensory experience, I think. And we have, you know, I'm most familiar with the youth side, of course, but there are some just amazing writers who are putting out books in verse, in poetry form. Jacqueline Woodson is one who's been really popular lately, and Jason Reynolds has a recent book out, and Kwame Alexander. And so there are some really, really great writers who are putting out books in verse form and really getting younger audience. I think that we tend to think that poetry is sort of for old people and kind of boring. But there's some really dynamic writers who are getting young people engaged in this format. And I sometimes think that they young people read these books and they don't, they might not even realize, oh, this is poetry. This,
yeah.
Except that it looks different on the page, you know, because, of course, it's not running from margin to margin. But, I think that young people are really getting turned on to it and have been for quite a while, actually.
Well, and just the fact that when you mentioned that the contest is so popular.
Right. And it has been for many years.
Now, a few years ago when at the time, Germana president at the time, David Sam has written some poetry books. And he came in and we did a show. And I wondered going in, how is this, you know, an hour of poetry? And it really was good as he would talk about how he wrote it. Then he would read it. And it is. It's if you take some time and just slow down.
Right.
And listen to it, and it can be really powerful stuff.
Yeah, and I know before we went on the air, we were talking briefly about audiobooks and our experiences with those. And so, of course, I'm most familiar with the youth side of it, but, you know, the books like Brown Girl Dreaming by Jacqueline Woodson and Kwame Alexander has a new book out called Solo, and those, experiencing them, listening to them is just a beautiful experience because, you know, the way that they are read, you really get to hear how the author intended them to be heard, which is, it's really cool.
Poetry at the Library in April, lots going on. You can check it out at librarypoint.org or the Central Rappahannock Regional Library's Facebook page. We're talking about the library this morning with Darcy Caswell and Christy Herneman. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
The Central Rappahannock Regional Library, our main focus this morning with Christy Herneman and Darcy Caswell from the library. Christy oversees the adult services stuff and the youth services stuff. Goes to Darcy. We're coming up on a fine free library, and it's also National Library Week, April the 8th to the 14th.
Week, Ted.
Yes, this was not good planning.
We need to schedule that for next year.
Exactly. We will look at this. We will be more current. But well, happy National Library Week early. Well, I will say this, and I say it often, and to you guys and to others, we are really, is with National Library Week, we are really fortunate to have the library that we do in this community. Thank you for all that you guys do.
Well, thank you, because we wouldn't be doing what we do or, you know, be here at all, really, if it wasn't for the community, because that's our whole, that is why we do what we do, is to serve our community, so... As long as people keep coming in and, you know, telling us what they need so we can help them out, then I think we'll continue doing what we do.
Definitely. And, I mean, we are just, you know, people always think of the library as books.
Yep.
And we obviously have books and we promote the love of reading, but we also have so many more things to offer. People, and a lot of people are like, well, why do you need to go to the library? We have Google. Well, Google brings you back 1 million answers. The librarian right. will bring you back the one right answer.
Right.
So, you know, really, the librarian's research skills, we have movies, audiobooks,
access,
more.
Access to databases and some interesting databases, too. You know, so not for people, obviously, who are doing maybe research for school. But even if you're interested, you know, like we have... You can do genealogical research. You can, you know, research some health issues. You know, all kinds of things for just general interest as well. And of course, all of our classes and events that we offer at the library are amazing. We get little, you know, comment cards all the time that say, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea everything you had at the library."
Yeah.
And we think, Right. So everybody come in. Everybody come in so that you can see everything that the library has to offer, because it's so amazing.
It really is. If you haven't been in a library branch lately, they just, it's so different. Everything is so more wide open than I ever remember it.
Right.
It's colorful. Mm-hmm. There are signs everywhere. And if you've got kids, you really ought to take your kids at least a couple times a month minimum.
It's the best deal in town if you have kids, you know.
Yeah.
And anybody can come in, whether you have a library card or not, of course. You know, anybody can come in. We have our learn and play rooms for children 5 and under with toys in there, educational toys for them to use. We've got launch pads, of course, that you can check out from the library with educational games. And, of course, we're all about education, but especially for the children, we try to make it really fun so they don't realize, that they're learning something. You know, because for children, playing is really learning for them. And, so especially if you have kids, it really is. It's a great deal.
Well, teachers who are on here all the time talk about how they can tell when kids go to school right away that the kids that have gone to the library and mm-hmm. can either read or have a good understanding of things.
Right.
So too young.
Yeah. And, you know, all the classes that we have at the library, too, for children, you know, from birth all the way up through high school. You know, so we have our early literacy classes, our Grow a Reader classes, over 30 a week that we offer at our various branches throughout the system. So no matter what your schedule is, we have a class that would fit into your schedule. We offer those classes on the weekends. We offer them in the evening, in the mornings, because we just, you know, we understand that it's sometimes a tricky situation to fit some of that into adults' schedule, so we try to offer a variety of times and days when those are available.
Well, and it's also exciting to see, especially in fast-growing pockets in this community that want to have a library branch or want to have access. Because I know you're mm-hmm. moving into like the Massaponics area. That area has been growing so much, and so you're always looking for that. And the people want the library, and like you say, it's more than just books.
Yeah, it's a community hub. And I think you're right. As our community grows, you know, our elected leaders and, you know, we at the library, we're always kind of trying to see where there's going to be community need. And, you know, so there's ongoing communication about that.
So check it out. The other thing to look for, you see it all around town, the At Your Library mm-hmm. magazine gives you all kinds of, and it's not just for, it is all kinds of events, but it's events in there for all ages.
It's not just a kids kind of thing. It's all branches, all ages, and we do it a quarter at a time. So right now our spring issue is out. And yeah, no matter what your interests are, no matter what your age, I guarantee you can find something in there for you.
So anyway, National Library Week, April the 8th through the 14th, and Happy Library Week. Is that a fine free week?
Yes. Yeah, so if you have overdue items, bring them in between April 8th and the 14th, and you will not get any fines on those items.
We will just say thank you so much for bringing those items back.
Hmm. And it's important. I mean, and I know in a lot of things, when things are popular, there's more of you want to get them back and get them recycled when there's a weight on things.
Yeah, because and that's, you know, we just ask people to be conscientious about things, and a lot of times there's a hold, and so somebody's waiting for that item, and we just, you know, how would you feel if you were waiting for that item? Wouldn't you want it to be returned?
Yes,
so you could get it, you know.
I've been on that waiting list. I've been the one waiting and thinking, come on.
Right, right. It's the beauty.
Back.
It's the beauty of sharing.
Yes.
Yes.
There is a maker lab opening at the Salem Church Library coming up next week. But maker labs in general, those I know, describe what they are, because they are wildly popular.
So in our maker labs, we have all sorts of different technology items that people can use and play with. One of my favorite things is a 3D printer. Now, I will admit, I thought a 3D printer was going to be really difficult and complicated, and then someone showed me how to use it. I'm like, oh, that is so easy.
Seriously?
It is so easy. If you are comfortable with a computer, then you are going to do just fine making a 3D print, using a 3D printer. people can make appointments to get 3D printer badged, and then they can use the 3D printer independently once they've gone through that training.
That's your next library assignment, Ted, is to make an appointment to do a badging session.
Yeah.
To learn how to use the 3D printer. And then you can get, you actually get a little physical badge. And
I
then
can
you
wear
can,
that around?
You can. And then you can schedule a time. You can print something on the 3D printer. And it's fantastic. I think that you should. So you got your mug, right? You
just yeah.
did the winter yes. reading challenge. Mm-hmm. Next thing yeah. is getting badged for the 3D printer.
How long does it take to get badged? A few hours?
I think it's less than 2 hours. I think it's
right.
about 90 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And then once you're badged, like I said, you can make an appointment to mm-hmm. use the 3D printer, and that is at no cost. Mm-hmm. So you can go ahead and one of our coworkers 3D printed a really cool little business card holder, mm-hmm. and she takes that around, and everybody's like, oh, where did you get that? Well, I made it at the library.
Oh, I might want to do that.
Yeah, we had some students who, in the past few weeks, they're involved in the Sea Perch program, which please don't ask me about that because I do not know the details.
Okay.
However, I do know students up in Stafford were involved in this program, and they came in and they 3D printed different pieces of an underwater, like, robotic kind of device and that they used in a competition, you know, so they had to be able to control it and do certain things. So they came in and they printed the various pieces of that and put them together to use in this competition. So if you get badged, you can print whatever you want on there.
I would just like to wear the badge around just to say I'm badged.
Yeah.
So I might have to do that. So are there certain times when they offer the badging classes?
The badging appointments, we have scheduled them at all branches to kind of, there's some in the morning, some in the afternoon, some on the evening, some okay. on the weekends. So we understand, you know, people's lives and schedules very wildly. And so we try to have something available, you know, mm-hmm. throughout the week, different times of the day,
yeah. so
different days
you,
of the week.
So on our website, if you go to the Maker Lab page, and then you can decide which of the branches you know, is most convenient for you, and then you contact them, and you can set up an appointment.
Okay. The library was the first place that I knew in this area that had a 3D printer. I had never heard of a 3D printer at that time, and I know now they're in schools and everyone's using them. So it is worth your while to learn how to use some of this, whether it's to help out your kids or your grandkids.
Right. It's so cool, and this is several years ago when 3D printers were just kind of becoming more affordable and they were more widely used. But I remember seeing a program and, Jay Leno.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how he collects
cars.
He has like a massive collection of cars.
Yeah.
And he was, and I don't know if it was him, maybe his mechanic. I'm sure he has a personal mechanic. But they were 3D printing pieces for car engines that they that were no longer manufactured.
Oh wow!
And of course, you couldn't do that with everything, but they were using 3D printers to create some of these pieces that they needed to fix certain things, you know, that they couldn't find anywhere anymore.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Central Rappahannock Regional Library, our focus. Darcy Caswell, Christy Herneman here. More on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Central Rappahannock Regional Library this morning. Darcy Caswell here. Christy Herneman is here as we talk about all the really cool things that all the cool kids do at the library. Tell me about there's a kite exhibit at the Porter Library. A kite exhibit.
Yeah, every April, Porter has this kite exhibit that's in partnership with Jack Wilson and Harold Ames of the American Kite Flyers Association, and the kites are on loan from Mike Clark, who is a local resident. And it's just celebrating kites. And, you know, when you think about kites, you really think about children and childhood. But this is really emphasizing that, yes, kites are for children, but as adults, they're also for adults. for example, Kites Are Not Just for Kids, that program at Porter on Wednesdays, April 4th and the 18th, there's going to be tips about competitive sport kite flying from Jack Wilson. And I mean...
competitive kite flying.
Yes.
So cool.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you need to look this up on YouTube.
Yeah?
It's amazing.
Competitive kite flying.
Competitive kite flying.
Okay.
It's very cool. Definitely not for kids, that one.
No.
I mean, the competitive kite flying. Although I'm sure there are kid age ranges where they... start competitive.
I was just thinking the other day, because this is the time of year, because I live near L'Oreal Park, mm-hmm. and a lot of times on the weekend, on windy Saturdays mm-hmm. or Sundays, you see people flying kites.
Right.
Kite flying is really, no matter what age you are, it's fun to be able to get a kite up there and on a windy day and keep it there.
Yeah. But competitive kite flying is very cool.
Competitive kite flying.
Yes.
I will look into that.
And for those who want to make their own kite, there's a program at Porter also, right?
Yes, on Sunday, April 8th from 2 to 4:30, you can build, decorate, and weather permitting, learn to fly your kite. The kits are donated by the American Kite Flyers Association.
Okay. So what? Give those dates one more time.
So the kite making workshop is Sunday, April 8th from 2 to 4:30.
Okay.
And then the Kites Are Not Just for Kids, where you can learn all about competitive sport kite flying, is on Wednesdays, April 4th and the 18th.
I had no idea about competitive kite flying, but I will YouTube it.
Yeah, and get up to the Porter Branch, too, and see that exhibit, because they're works of art, these kites. They're really amazing.
The Week of the Young Child is at the end of April, and I guess, Darcy, that's right up your alley.
That is right up my alley, yep. So Week of the Young Child this year is April 16th through the 20th, and this is a national time to draw attention to the first 5 years of a child's life, which are really, a lot of people will say these are the most important years of a child's life. Mm-hmm. When you look at physical development, brain development, social-emotional development, they really are critical. And if children can get off to a really good start in those first 5 years, they have a much higher likelihood of success throughout their life. So, I mean, just as one example, 90% of a child's brain is developed before they reach kindergarten. So it's really important in those first 5 years to have appropriate brain and sensory kind of stimulation and things that children can do. And, of course, for children, again, you know, a lot of this is about playing, and it's about experiencing things with all of their senses, and it's about having people talk to them and read to them and sing to them. Those are the kinds of things that develop those vital connections in a child's brain that down the road will lead them to be able to, you know, read about Einstein and learn physics and all of those things.
Now, it's so important not to just feel like at that age when just the small babies have just, mm-hmm. Park them in front of the TV.
Oh,
or
gosh,
just,
no, don't do that.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. No. This is the kind, it's doing these kind of things. And you build a relationship.
Absolutely.
With these kind of things.
And we know, too, that, the emotional health of children is also important to their physical and their brain development as well. And so having healthy relationships is part of it. Having good quality childcare, whether that is at home or in a childcare facility,
mm-hmm.
So that the children are being exposed to all kinds of positive things and learning situations, but also, positive emotional feedback, and they're getting lots of physical attention and all of that. And so at the library during the Week of the Young Child, how we try to draw attention to these issues is that we invite some very special guest readers in to read at some of our Grow Reader early literacy classes. And we're still working on who all is going to be there. But right now we have Delegate Bob Thomas, Spotsylvania County Supervisor David Ross, and Spotsylvania County Supervisor Kevin Marshall are all scheduled to come in and read to children during that week. So it's a really special time during that week where we can raise some awareness, hopefully, of the critical years of that birth to age five.
No, it's so important, and like we said earlier, just even at least a couple of times a month, take your kids to the library and just there's nothing better than to just sit on the floor and
absolutely
get books around you and right. you see what your kids are even interested in.
Right. And you know, and we understand that not everybody is in the same same situation as far as time or having, you know, money to do different things, but the library is a great resource mm-hmm. for coming in. And you know, we have toys there that children can play with. We have books, you know, that you can read to your children. You can check them out. You can bring them home. Lots and lots of resources available. We have comfy chairs where you can pull your child up onto your lap and read to them. And so the library is a great place to start and a great place to continue on with your children. And our librarians are always helpful if you have questions about anything, about, you know, what books might be appropriate for your child, you know, given their age. Our librarians will be delighted to help you find something.
And I've always worked in adult research, so I don't know picture books, but I have an 8-month-old mm-hmm. daughter, and I will say that sometimes I take the picture book and I go to my husband, hey, look at this. Isn't this fantastic? It's so hilarious. And he's like, yes, that's, yes. I think I'm sometimes way more excited about the books than my daughter because she's 8 months. All she wants to do really is eat the books.
Yeah, right. But we've talked about this before about just how sometimes these books are just so well written mm-hmm. and they're hilarious for an adult.
They are.
For kids, they're just a kid's book, but you see sometimes the humor is just so funny.
The best ones, I really think the best ones are, you know, they're writing at an appropriate level for the child, but they're getting in something that's also going to engage the adult. Those are the best ones because then mm-hmm. we want to read them over and over and over again as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wanted to tell Christy, at 8 months, it's totally developmentally appropriate for your child to want to put the book into her yeah. mouth. That is how she's learning right now. That's just fine.
That's so interesting, Christy, as someone, like you say, I mean, you've been on the adult side in what you do. So I guess you're able to engage people at work and the Darcys of the world and the Darcys of the library to say, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, I love to browse the books, but I also go and I say, hey, so what has been a great picture book that you've, you know, come across recently? Yeah. And I get the best recommendations from the staff.
Yeah, I would say, you know, for anybody who pops into a library, one of the most fun questions you can ask a librarian is, what's your favorite book right now? You know, or what's your favorite picture book that you read recently? Or on the adult side, to go up to an adult librarian and mm-hmm. say, what's the best mystery that you've read recently, or the nonfiction, or whatever? And we get so excited about those questions. We'll talk your ear off.
Well, and that's what you do, and you want to be mm-hmm. able to share that information, whether you were on the adult side, Christy, or Darcy on the youth services side.
Right.
Yeah. So, and there's so much good stuff out there.
There is so much good stuff. And at the library, I mean, I have these moments, right, where I walk into a library and I look around and I think, there's no way in a million years I would ever be able to afford all of these wonderful books that are in this building.
Mm-hmm.
But here they are.
Or have the space in your house.
Or have the space in my house. But here they are. And I can read any one of these books. I can borrow any one of these books. And it's really an amazing thing.
Again, it is Week of the Young Child, April 16th through the 20th, but it should be the Year of the Young Child.
Every day.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
We'll focus it on that one week. Before we take a break here, Money Smart is coming up.
So Money Smart Week is a national initiative to help people with their financial goals. I don't know about all of you, but when I started my career, I was like, oh, retirement plan? I guess I should really think about
yeah.
that. Oh, budget? I really should have a budget if I want to do all of these, you know, if I want to travel and if I ever want to retire and not work till I'm 90. So Money Smart Week, we have different programs throughout the entire system to help people with financial checkup, budgeting, insurance questions, learning about your credit, since credit is so important if you want to get a home ever or if you want to buy a car and you need a loan for that. We also have estate planning as well. So there's so much with financial goals, and we are focusing really that last week of April on helping people reach their financial goals.
I think it's a great opportunity I always feel like, especially when it comes to financial planning, I don't even sometimes know the right questions to ask.
Right.
And so
right.
I think these classes are a great place for people to start who maybe you're not super confident. Maybe you're feeling very nervous about, you know, you don't even know where to start. This is the place to start.
Right. And the library also has a lot of different books from different, like, personal finance gurus. So if you know that someone has the same philosophy as you do when it comes to financial goals, we will have any book from beginner to expert.
And like you said, Christy, the when you first start out, retirement, you just think that'll never be here, and in a blink of the eye, it's 30 years. And they will, and players
will
tell
you.
We have
no idea what you're talking about, Ted.
I know you don't. You're still so young. But financial planners will tell you, even if you haven't done what you should, it's never too late.
Right. You should start saving for retirement and creating a budget. You know, even if you are not at the beginning of your career, you're towards the end of your career, you know, when you do retire, you have this money, and you want to make sure that it lasts for your entire life.
Yeah.
Never give up on that goal. Like, right. no matter what point you're at in your career, never give up on that goal.
But the two of you, since you're so young, that you still have a lot of time to take care of that. Christy Hernum and Darcy Caswell here from the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, librarypoint.org, or check them out on Facebook. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Central Rappahannock Regional Library, our focus. We've been talking about a number of things going on over the next month or so. The Fred Watkins exhibit is something that is coming up, and I think that's something you got information on there, Christy.
Yes. So during the month of April at the Fredericksburg branch, Fred Watkins, who is this really fascinating local resident who has been a staff photographer for Jet and Ebony magazines, and he's also done freelance photography for Time, Life, and People magazines, will have an exhibit. So on April 3rd from 7 to 8, we're also having a reception for Fred Watkins as an opening of his exhibit. So he's going to have a lot of different photography of celebrities, places he's traveled to, politicians. So it's going to be a really fascinating art exhibit.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I should have asked you this before, but that's first Friday. Is the Fredericksburg branch going to be, do you know if the trolley's stopping there? Because a lot of times we get on the trolley stop.
You know, I do not know if the trolley will be stopping there.
Possibly could be.
Okay. Be aware of that. That may be an option for you. Talk to me about Canopy and what that is.
So Canopy is a streaming service of videos. So when I saw that we got this, I was so excited. It has a lot of classic films, independent films, documentaries. I'm a huge Cary Grant fan, and I was looking at it the other day, and I'm like, oh, look, it has Penny Serenade, and it has His Girl Friday, and it has all of these great films. So you can stream it with your library card for free. And it used to be that you could have about 7 movies checked out.
Well, over the course of the month, I think
per month,
7 checkouts, but now it's increased to 10.
Yes. So, you know, if you're going through Netflix and you're like, oh, there's nothing here, you know, as we all do, check out Canopy. Because Canopy has a lot of really fascinating movies, documentaries that you can't necessarily get anywhere else online.
Right. Independent films. There's some really cool stuff on there.
Interesting. That along with we even talked about it today, but lynda.com is another great online kind of service that the library provides.
But, absolutely, two very different services.
Well, yes.
Movies, but yeah, with the online video training with Lynda, and they're constantly expanding the topics and the things that you can learn about on Lynda. So absolutely worth going in there and poking around a little bit to see what you can learn there.
And there's some personal finance tutorials on lynda.com. So if you are sitting around at midnight, kind of bored, and you want to learn more about personal finance, there's one that's 10 minutes, there's one that's 3 hours long, so you get your pick.
Do the 10-minute one, then watch a little Cary Grant.
Yeah.
And go to bed.
Yes.
So I would have never guessed you were Cary Grant. We'll have to talk old movies sometimes.
Oh, I love
I like
old movies.
Too.
I love Cary Grant, too. Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I'm a Katharine Hepburn fan.
Katharine Hepburn, too. I love her.
Mm. Yeah.
Philadelphia Story.
Oh, yeah.
With Jimmy Stewart, then.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to have a... We can... This could go in a lot of ways. The last thing on my list here, the community conversations is something the library has started and talked about. Civility.
Yes. So on Monday, April 30th at the Salem Church branch at 7 o'clock, we are having a program in partnership with the Spotsylvania County Neighborhood Watch and the League of Women Voters of the Fredericksburg area, a conversation around civility. I think a lot of people, you know, with the political climate recently, just feel that there's a lot of mudslinging. I mean, there's always been mudslinging in politics, but with social media and 24-hour news coverage, it just seems to be coming at us more often.
Yeah.
So we're talking about civility and how do we as a community promote civility and try to get that dialogue started. Because when you have civil conversations with people who don't necessarily agree with you, you can get things done. Mm-hmm. If you're just always attacking each other, you know, not being civil towards one another, then that's when your community is going to fall apart.
And this is an opportunity also for sort of average people to come in and have conversations about civil communication, because I think sometimes we feel like, oh, there's kind of no outlet, but you know, people can come in and they can watch the panel, but then they can also ask questions and they can express themselves at this event at the Salem Church Library too.
Yeah, it'll be Monday, April the 30th. Did you say the time is
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock for community conversations, civility. We can't let you go, and we only have a few seconds left, but Christy, I know you're getting ready for May the 19th.
Yes, May the 19th is going to be our fourth annual CurlCon. So we have vendors, we have a costume contest. Everything that you've loved about all of the other CurlCons will be there. So maybe, Ted, you'll be there in a costume?
I might be there, but I don't know that I'll be in a costume.
You could win our costume contest, maybe.
And then I could maybe be on the cover.
Yes.
As one of our guests is this morning. Darcy Caswell and Christy Erdman, thank you so much for what you do with the library. And thanks for coming in and talking about the library with us.
Thank you, Ted.
At our library in the right-hand corner, you can see Darcy. LibraryPoint.org. And that is it for Town Talk. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.